Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue our examination of Christ's upper room discourse just hours literally before his crucifixion. He's getting his disciples ready for his death and departure and for the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And in John 16:25, Christ tells them that up until now he has been speaking to them largely in veiled language. These things, he said, have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh, or the hour cometh, when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And what Christ is saying is that after my crucifixion, when the Holy Spirit comes, then truth that has been puzzling to you up until now is going to be very clear. Then the understanding that you have about God, which has been very veiled now, will be much more clear. There's going to be something that will take place after the crucifixion of Christ that will make so much of the truth that God has revealed to this world. It'll make it so much clearer, both because the cross is the culmination of so much of the truth that God has revealed, and also because the Holy Spirit is going to make that truth plain to the people of God in a way that was not made plain before. That's the reason for the coming of the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And so we learn about the Savior's veiled language in verse 25, but we secondly learn about the disciples' enlarged privileges in verses 26 and following. At that day, said Jesus, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. What is that all about? Well, we'll talk about it in just a moment, but let me pause and welcome you to this Thursday, March 27 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and let me thank those listeners whose gifts of love to this ministry help us to buy the airtime to put the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Well, Christ is saying that there is a coming advancement in their position as his disciples. And again, this has to do a great deal with the cross of Christ. There was a before-the-cross relationship. There is an after-the-cross relationship. And the after-the-cross relationship is a more privileged position. Remember what Jesus said about John the Baptist in Luke 7:28? This is one of those veiled statements of Christ that's enigmatic, puzzling, a little bit difficult to understand. In fact, quite a bit difficult to understand as far as I'm concerned. But let's listen to it now in Luke chapter 7 and verse 28. He's talking about John the Baptist, and Jesus said, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." So far, so good. I have no difficulty understanding what he's saying up until that point. He's saying that there has never been a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That John the Baptist is equal to the greatest of all the other prophets. Now that's a great statement. That's an astounding statement in many ways. That means that Moses was not greater than John the Baptist. That means that Elijah was not greater than John the Baptist. There was no prophet. That means that David was not greater than John the Baptist. David was a prophet. He was more than a prophet. He was something else in addition to a prophet, but he was a prophet. But David was not greater than John the Baptist. There, There's been no man born of women. There's never been a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That's what Jesus said. In spite of the fact that John worked no miracles. You see, miracles are not an evidence of the greatness of men. And the fact that God allows some men to work miracles and not others does not mean that those who work miracles are more privileged or more spiritual than others. There's a great emphasis upon miracles by some people in our day, a returned emphasis that some people are convinced that these miracles, these sign gifts that were so prevalent in the days of Christ, have returned to us today, and that there are some men who have been granted by God the ability to perform these miracles, and usually these men are considered to be the greatest among all the messengers of God today. All the ones that have this miraculous power. Well, there are a lot of problems with that way of thinking, not the least of which is whether these so-called miracles in our day are genuine or not. But I won't get into that right now, but I have some very, very great questions in regard to all of that. But here's the point. If Jesus said that John the Baptist was at least as great as any other prophet, and he never performed a miracle, then why do we think that miracles indicate a great prophet, a great man of God, somebody who is greatly esteemed, someone who is of high rank in God's estimation, someone who is closer to God? Why do we think that when Jesus plainly told us that there was never a greater prophet than John the Baptist, and John the Baptist worked no miracles? You see, there are just so many different ways in Scripture that miracles are put in their proper perspective and are not valued in quite the way that people tend to value them today. Why do we run after miracles? Why do we misunderstand miracles? Why do we emphasize miracles in a way that the Bible does not? Doesn't that in itself indicate our lack of paying attention to what the Bible is teaching us? But having said all that, it's the last part of this verse that is so puzzling. I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But listen to this. He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, there's an enigmatic statement. What does that mean? He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. There's never been a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Well, you talk about a puzzling statement. Back to John 16:25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, in veiled statements, in enigmatic language. Here's one of them. What does that mean? Well, I suppose there are a lot of implications that we could draw from that, but I think the most obvious one is this. There is a great advance that takes place at the cross. All of God's people prior to the cross are just as much saved, just as much the people of God, as those who are saved after the cross. But so great is the cross, such a central event in God's whole program, and by the design of God, those who are brought into relationship with God through Christ after the cross are in such a much more privileged position as far as spiritual privileges, spiritual understanding, than those who were before the cross, that even though there never was a greater prophet than John the Baptist died before the cross, and therefore the least member of the kingdom of God is greater than John, simply by virtue of the fact of where he is positioned. He comes after the cross of Christ. And that's in part what Jesus is saying here about his disciples. At that day, he said, ye shall ask in my name, And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Oh, why not? For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the Father, the world rather, and go to the Father. There's a coming advancement in position, and there's a coming advancement in understanding. You're going to be able to relate to the Father and to the world in the light of the meaning of the cross. And there's a coming advancement in level of communion, an enlarged communion with the Father. Without the incarnate Christ bridging the gap between disciple and Father, Christ will be back in heaven, and now there will be a more direct relationship between God the Father and the disciples of Christ. There's going to be a greater realization of God's love. I will not pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me. Based upon your love to Christ, God will bestow his love upon you in a greater way. Based upon your faith in Christ, which of course you couldn't have until Christ came, God will bestow his love upon you in a greater way. God's love precedes and initiates our love, but our emotions and affections are affected by his love to us. And only believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can say, or should I say, sing from experience, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave himself. What more could he give? He gave himself. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. That's the privilege of those who are in Christ after the cross. God had people before the cross, but they were not in the same privileged position. They were not at the same level of understanding. They were not in the same closeness of communion. The disciples of Christ that he's speaking to now in the upper room discourse, and all the disciples of Christ who will follow them, stand in a much more privileged position to God than any of the people of God before the cross. A more privileged position than Abraham, than Moses, than David, than anybody. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, and there wasn't a greater prophet than John. He was as great as any of them, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And I don't think we can understand very clearly how great is the difference between pre-cross and post-cross. We're not close enough to the cross to understand that. You see, these disciples bridged both sides. They were the people of God before the cross, and they were the people of God after the cross. And they understood by personal experience the greatness of the privileges that were ushered in after the cross of Christ. They were there. Their veiled understanding was enlightened. Their sense of God's presence and love and power was magnified. They understood that difference and appreciated it in a way that is very difficult, if not impossible, for us to do. We just have to read about it. We have to accept it. We have to believe it. We have to try to understand it and try to enter into it. But we will have to take a lot of it just by statement of faith. Here it is. This is what God says, and how privileged we are. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.